بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما كان لبشر أن يكلمه الله إلا وحيا أو من وراء حجاب أو يرسل رسولا فيوحي بإذنه ما يشاء إنه علي حكيم وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama, ikram, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week we started with the discussion on the introduction to wahi, the wisdom of wahi, the connection of the month of Ramadan with wahi, and the revelation of the Quran al-Majid from the Lawa Mahfuz to the Baytul Izzah, the Baytul Ma'mur, and thereafter once again from the Lawa Mahfuz over 23 years to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continuing from that point, we explained that wahi was only sent to the Anbiya alayhimus salam by the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the agency of wahi has now stopped. Furthermore, there is no need for wahi to come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the final Nabi and the Quran al-Majid as the final book. All what man requires till the day of Qiyamah has already been sent to us. So what we need to do is just to follow. And in that will our salvation lie, and our salvation will be. The Jews said that we do not believe in you as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you haven't seen Allah ta'ala. Number two, you haven't spoken to Allah like how Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah ta'ala directly, and how Musa alayhi salam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in response to that, Surah Shura, Surah 42, verse 51 to 53, the last three verses of the surah were revealed. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains about wahi. And I want to explain this before we go into explaining how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive wahi. Here Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا. It is not possible for a man that Allah ta'ala speaks to him in this world, on this dunya. Allah Ta'ala is not going to come in front of any person in a wakeful state and talk to this person, and this person is able to see Allah Ta'ala. Allah has a system. The first thing is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will communicate through the Anbiya alayhimus salam. That message will come through the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Secondly, understand that they are human beings, and being human, they also have emotions like we have. They also have the same needs, the same feelings like we have. They also get scared. Musa alayhi salam is speaking to Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, throw your staff. When he threw his staff and it became a serpent, walla mudbira wa lam yu'aqib. He turned and ran, he never looked back. So this is natural. It is not against the position of a Nabi to get scared, to start shivering, to get worried. It is all, in Urdu they say so nicely, bataqazae bashariyat. It is because of the demands of being human. Because of being a human being, you will go through all these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi, the message of Allah ta'ala to his Anbiya alayhi salam, but there was a system of how it came. So the first thing Allah ta'ala says, Allah won't speak to any man except in three ways. Illa wahyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire in his heart his message. Now this is referring to a certain terminology that is called ilqa fi raw'. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, ulqiya fi raw'i, that it was put in my heart. Now you and I, we don't experience this wahi. Sometimes we get what we call ilham. Now ilham is an inspiration. There's an angel called mulhim. He will inspire you to do something good. For example, all of a sudden you get an inspiration. Donate towards this masjid, for example. Or to give a poor person or to help someone in your family. So you get a good inspiration. But us, shaitan's influence can definitely be there. The Anbiya alayhimu salam, there is no influence of shaitan. When it comes to the channel of wahi, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected wahi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Jibreel alayhi salam with wahi, as we'll explain also. ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. Allah mentions his qualities. ذُو مِرَّ فَاسْتَوَى. So the qualities of Jibreel alayhi salam is, Allah ta'ala made him a very mighty angel, a very strong angel. The shaitan can't take a chance. When he's bringing that wahi, Jibreel, one Jibreel alayhi salam can destroy the whole world with the permission of Allah. So he's very strong. The shayateen couldn't take chances with him. So that channel was protected. So nevertheless, ilqafir raw. So in a wakeful state, Allah Ta'ala will put it in the heart, and the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will convey that message in his own words. That means it comes into his heart, like how we say, like a thought. But he understands that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, but it doesn't come in any specific words. So he will convey it in his own words, like we explained last week. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wahi ghair matlu. It is wahi that is not in Quran, but it is wahi from Allah Ta'ala explained in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the message of Allah Ta'ala in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. Or the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will get it in his dream. That message will come clear in his dream. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam's dream is very, very famous. Oh my son, I see in my dream, Anni azbahuka, I am slaughtering you. What do you say? Now he wasn't making mashura. He knew it's wahi from Allah Ta'ala. Our dreams can be influenced by shaitan. Our dreams can also be an inspiration from Allah Ta'ala. That is why the hadith says, the dreams of the believers, there's no more wahi to come. There's no more wahi. But the dreams of the believers is 146th. We'll explain now why 146th of wahi. But you and I, we can't just say this is an inspiration from Allah. According to how truthful and pure a person is, that is how truthful and pure his dreams will be. So if he's very, very truthful and very pure, Allah Ta'ala inspires in his dreams sometimes certain things, but the message is not so clear. Like Sahaba had dreams, comes in the hadith, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm doing this action or I'm doing that action or I'm drinking milk, for example. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted drinking of milk is ilm, it is knowledge. So the world of dreams is a separate subject on its own. So a person will have to go to someone that is senior and has knowledge of this to get the proper interpretation. But the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wasn't like that. He would understand the message and he would convey directly to the people, or he would act on it. So Ibrahim alayhi salam knew, this dream is from Allah Ta'ala, I have to slaughter my son. But he wanted to see what level his son was on. What was in his heart. He was going to do it, he had to do it. He wanted to see that this son is my son, son of a Nabi. So what does he say about it? Ya abati faal ma tu'mar. He was going to be a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Here there's an important point the ulama explained. You see, in the verse, it continues. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You didn't know what the Quran was. You didn't know what Iman was. So under that, there's an explanation in Ma'arif al-Quran. They explain that every Nabi of Allah Ta'ala had Iman. And they were saved from all evil actions, from idol worship. And the proof for that is that the kuffar, if they had to taunt them, they taunted them with so many things and so many false things. They said, you are a sha'ir, you are a kahin, you are a sahir. They gave all these words. But one thing they never taunted them with and said, that you also worship idols like we worshipped. So if it was a reality, they would have used it against them. They would have said, you also were worshipping like we were worshipping. So now why have you changed? So Allah Ta'ala protected the Anbiya alayhi salam and especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all the evils of their people. So every Nabi had Iman. But the details of Iman and the shara'i', the laws of Iman and Islam after Quran was revealed, that wasn't given to the Anbiya alayhi salam. That came after Nubuwat. But that strong tawheed and iman and turning away from all wrong and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was there in every Nabi. And then the takmeel, the perfection came with nubuwat and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being sent. So the first thing is, Allah ta'ala sends revelation by ilqa, by putting it in the heart of the Nabi. Secondly, أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ, or from behind a veil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving to the Jews that you made a wrong claim. You said that Musa alayhi salam used to see Allah ta'ala. Quran Majid says clearly, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ, Allah, I want to see you. See, when a person talks to the beloved, even in this world, not a good example, is chatting with a woman, haram, but he never saw her. The next step is, let me see you. In the old days, I want to see you face to face. Now it's video call and it is with pictures, which is haram. I want to see your picture. Until then, a person is not satisfied. When he sees one picture, he sees more, see more. Send another picture. Reveal more. So when a person starts reading the kalam of Allah, Musa alayhi salam is talking to Allah, Allah, I want to see you now. Allah, I want to see your beauty. And really, to see Allah Ta'ala is a very, very, very great bounty. One of the greatest bounties of Jannat, the hadith says, every one of us, may Allah make us from them, every one of us will see Allah Ta'ala clearly like how you see the moon. Nobody is rushing now for the front line because everybody can see it. Everybody can see it equally like the next person. And a punishment will be, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, they will be prevented from seeing Allah Ta'ala. Because to see Allah, what an ecstasy. You can't experience it in the world. So Allah Ta'ala said, لَن تَرَانِي O Musa, in this dunya, with these earthly eyes, you can't see me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted the claim of the Jews. So ulama explained, مِن وَرَاءِ hijab, it doesn't mean like how a woman is wearing a hijab, that Allah Ta'ala has a veil over him. They say nothing can contain Allah. Allah's nur is reflecting in everything. Allah's nur is everywhere. Nuruhu muhit. The nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything. They say, where is the veil? The veil is on our eyes. Allah has put a veil on our eyes. We are too weak. When Allah ta'ala, falamma tajalla rabbuhu lil jabal, when Allah ta'ala sent one small manifestation of his tajalli and his glory on the mountain, that mountain became dust. Imagine in front of your eyes huge, huge mountains becoming like dust. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, Musa alayhi salam, he fell unconscious. He can't bear it. He understood, oh Allah, now I know I can't see you in this world. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala didn't reveal himself in this world to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam. But when Allah Ta'ala wanted to reveal himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innahu Ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most high. That is why you can't see Allah. Allah Ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through a process, a preparation process. The heart was taken out, was washed with zamzam, was filled with the iman and hikmah. So a process took place to prepare Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this kalam with Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on Mi'raj, where Uruj took place. You see? And there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly spoke to Allah Ta'ala. It was a process, it was a special honor for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in general, it's not for everyone, and it's not for every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, أُمِّي وَرَاءِ hijab. Allah Ta'ala can speak directly, meaning there's no one in between, but you won't be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a wakeful state, and that is for the Anbiya alayhi salam, like Musa alayhi salam, Kalimullah. He spoke direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the third way, which is the general way, Yursila Rasula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a messenger, Jibreel alayhi salam, فَيُوحِيَا بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَى. So he will reveal to the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. So these are the general ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals wahi. Now when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari Sharif, first and second page, The first chapter in Bukhari Sharif, Babu Kayfa Kana Bad'ul Wahi Ala Rasulillah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Wa Qawlullahu Azza wa Jal Inna Awhayna Ilayka Kama Awhayna Ila Nuhi Wa Nabiyyina Min Ba'di. That is the title of the chapter. How did Wahi commence with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send wahi and revelation to you, like how we sent it to Nuh alayhi salam and the Anbiya alayhi salam after him. So in this chapter, it starts with innamal a'malu bin niyat, and thereafter, the different ahadith with regards to wahi. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she explains and she says, أول ما بدأ به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الوحي الرؤيا الصالحة. The first signs of wahi to commence with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were true dreams. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would see a dream, the next day exactly what he saw would take place. مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبَحِ. Like the light of the horizon in the morning. Just as clear as day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see it. As we said, there's no influence now in the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. No influence of shaitan. We might dream of something very, very weird. We might be shy to explain what we dreamt about. Shaitan might interfere with our dream, in our dream. Sometimes Sahaba radiallahu anhu would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had a certain dream. I dreamt, my head is chopped off. My head is in my hand and I'm walking around. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when shaitan plays with you in your dreams, and don't worry about it, don't narrate it to others also. Because there's three types of dreams. That's not our topic of discussion. Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see clear dreams. And this happened for 6 months. Now coming back, I said 146 dream wahi. Why? For 6 months, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw true dreams. Which was, and 23 years was nubuwat. So 23 years times 2, or 6 months now, is 46. So 146, 6 months out of 23 years is 146 of wahi. So true dreams are 146th of wahi. So the second thing that happened was, حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. That after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started receiving these true dreams, then immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt comfortable and it became like to him to sit in seclusion and away from people. To such an extent that he felt comfortable being away from his own family. He used to take some food from Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. He would go to Ghar Hira, to the cave of Hira. And for days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would engage in meditation, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in pondering. And for days like that, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would feel, think about his family again and need food, go back, meet his family, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, collect his food again and go back. So two things ulama explain here. If anybody gets their hands on the translation of, I don't know if it's in the translation actually, it's actually the Urdu, Siratul Mustafa. Maulana Idris Khandelvi, he explains many, many secrets of this entire incident in the first volume. Right in the beginning, many, many secrets he explains. He says that wahi started in the form of true dreams. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see them like the light on the horizon. He said because the sun of Nubuwat was starting to come up. The sun of Nubuwat was starting to come up. The light and the nur of Hidayat was going to spread now. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي. And you are the one that guides people towards the siratul mustaqim. And Allah Ta'ala says, this is his nur, yahdi bi nurihi. This is the nur of hidayat through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran Sharif is nur. And every heart that had that purity, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in front with da'wat, that heart captured that nur and came into Islam. Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And that heart that had darkness and filth in it, and turning away from Allah Ta'ala like Abu Jahl, when that nur went in front of it, it fell upon it, but there was no effect, it never penetrated in that heart. So that heart turned away, it became the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala destroyed Abu Jahl and his likes. So that was one. Then حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. Very beautiful point is mentioned here. حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَى. They say for a mubtadi, a person that is beginning and wants to get close to Allah Ta'ala, for us in Ramadan. Because Ramadan is a month of i'tikaf, it's a month of seclusion. And if a person can't be in actual sunnat i'tikaf, then to seclude himself from other activities that he normally does out of Ramadan. Now I'll leave my socializing, I'll leave my sporting, I leave a whole host of things, khala. They say when Allah Ta'ala wants to draw a person close, the first thing that happens is, then he just wants to be alone in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. And the month of Ramadan is meant for that, for a person to draw close to Allah Ta'ala. So if a person can't do the sunnah i'tikaf, or spend a lot of time in the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then as much as he can, as far as possible, and especially in the last 10 days, to cut off from people, and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the first thing that happened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave. And then Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So understand, bataqaza bashariyat. You're all alone, you're in a cave, you're on a mountain. There's nobody there, nobody around you. You're going there all the time and you're all alone. And all of a sudden, a different creation walks into that cave. What will happen to you? Can we imagine? What will happen to us? Someone might get a heart attack. Because this is not a human being. It's another creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say it was a Monday, 8th of Rabiul Awwal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teak, 40 saal, exactly 40 years. According to the lunar calendar. He comes and he says, Iqra, recite. But this was a very, very unusual encounter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced, like Musa alayhi wa sallam, Walla mudbira. He turned around and he ran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't run, he stood. But, can imagine the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is happening. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely, extremely scared and terrified. Which was normal. And now he's being told, Iqra. And I love this explanation. Really this morning, revise this explanation. So the ulama say, one is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't learn to read and write. But he's being told, recite. And he's saying, I don't know how to recite. But if someone is teaching you orally, then what is the problem in reciting? If someone is saying, read, Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, read. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responded and said, I can't read. So ulama say, at that point in time, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was in such a position, was so overawed with the presence of Jibreel Alayhi Salam and the nur of wahi. Remember, wahi comes with nur. With the nur of wahi, someone is overwhelmed on the 27th of, for example, Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr, dua is being made. What happens to him? How he shivers and he shakes. How he cries. Some people fall down. Some people go unconscious. In the past, some people passed away also in bayans and lectures. It has such an effect on their heart. So this is Jibreel alayhi salam coming with Allah's message, wahi, first time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm in such a position now. Shivering and shaking. He said, I can't read. Even if you're telling me read, I can't read. And some ulama say, and I like this explanation, that Jibreel alayhi salam came with a silken script that was studded with gems and jewels, and on it the Quran Sharif was written. He gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Iqra, recite. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I can't recite. I can't read this. And that is why Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. Question is asked. The Quran wasn't in a form of a book when it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Baqarah, Allah is saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ. This is the book. But where is the book? In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't in the form of a book. The book came later. So where is the book? So they said, this scripture that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqra, read the scripture. Ma ana biqari, I can't read it. Anyway, whatever the explanation may be, he says, fa akhadhani, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam took me, fa ghattani, and he squeezed me so tight, hatta balagha minni al-juhud, I couldn't take it anymore. I reach the extreme peak of difficulty. He squeezed me so tight. Why did he squeeze Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One time. Second time he said, now iqra, now read. He said, I can't read. Ghattani thaniya. Second time he grabbed me and he squeezed me. Read. I can't read. Third time, took me and he squeezed me. Then he said, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So there's different explanations. Ulama say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the heart was being prepared by that squeezing of Jibreel alayhi salam. His heart was being prepared. The heart was being calmed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a state of fear. The heart was being prepared that now turn away from everything else. Focus and read. The Sufia, they say, that sometimes, you know, the sheikh, when they hug some of the murids, they can transfer certain nur from their hearts into the hearts of the murids. So they say, this was a transfer from Jibreel alayhi salam to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِنُثَبِّتْ كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُعَادَكَ. To strengthen the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart now can bear this wahi. And then he said, اِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. Who created man from a clot of blood. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. And recite, and your Lord is most noble. He taught man with the pen, taught man what he did not know. In this, Allah Ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the general way of people learning is with the pen. Allah taught people what they didn't know. But you, we will teach you directly. There's no need for the pen. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. I am teaching you directly, so there can be no tuhma and accusation. إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. That a man is teaching him. No. Nobody taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And this knowledge came direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, Jibreel alayhi salam informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah ta'ala had selected him as his Nabi. And the mantle of prophethood was conveyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning down the mountain, shivering and shaking, shivering and shaking. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes home and he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Laqad khashitu ala nafsi, O Khadija, cover me, I fear for my life. Can we imagine the weight of wahi? They say when wahi would come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha says it could be a blistering hot day. Sorry, it could be an absolutely cold day. Ice cold. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be perspiring. Beads of sweat would be dripping because of the wahi. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's breathing would stop. Number three, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's complexion would change. It would become pale and yellow like a dried date branch. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's complexion, so to say, the blood would become drained from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be shivering to the point where his teeth would be chattering. And wahi is being revealed. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, when wahi was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes when I used to stand close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I could hear a buzzing sound. Zzz, something is happening. Like you stand next to this electric box. There's a transmission, there's a current, live current that's happening. And it's going through. Can we imagine that weight of wahi, the heat of wahi? Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit says, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak head was on my thigh, resting. And wahi came. He said, I felt like my thigh was going to burst. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting on the camel. The camel couldn't take the weight. They say a camel can take about 180 kilos. Can load about 100, 180 kilos of weight on the camel. The camel couldn't take the weight of wahi. The camel had to sit down. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced at the time of wahi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by a Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So the Sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kayfa ya'tika al-wahyu? How does wahy come to you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahyanan ya'tini mithla salsalatin jaras. Sometimes it comes to me like the ringing of a bell. Ibn Arabi rahmatullahi, he explains what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to explain when he said, it comes to me like the ringing of a bell, وَهُوَ أَشَدُّهَا عَلَيَّ, and it is the most difficult form of wahi for me. He said, the ringing of a bell, meaning the sound is coming from all directions. Coming from all directions. I can't see it's coming from the front, I can't see from the side or from the back. All directions. And secondly, it is coming continuously. One after the other, continuously. Non-stop. And then, when that wahi stops, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be experiencing this condition, and when the wahi stopped, then automatically I had memorized it. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wanted to send to me, automatically I had memorized it. La tuharrik bihi lisanaka li ta'ajala bih. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana fa idha qara'nahu fattabi' qur'ana thumma inna alayna bayana inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. Allah Ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are going to send to you thaqil, a very very heavy revelation. It's going to be heavy. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried, I need to memorize this. I'm being told this message, I need to memorize. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba, as they were teaching this hadith, they were mimicking how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was moving his lips. La tuharrik bihi lisanak. So he's saying, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when wahi was coming, he used to move his lips. He used to try and memorize immediately. So Allah Ta'ala said, don't worry about this. La tuharrik, don't move your tongue. You just listen to that wahi. Inna alayna, we will collect it, jam'ahu, in your heart. And we will make you recite it afterwards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Quran in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart direct. After that, it was already in his heart. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, and he had scribes around him that would write down, sometimes on bone, sometimes on animal skin, sometimes on leaves, and the Quran Sharif would be recorded like that. Time is up. There's much more detail. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. May Allah ta'ala grant us the appreciation of the Quran and Majid, and the tawfiq to recite the Quran and Majid abundantly. SubhanAllah.